As you know, apologetics is very heavy on this show. You hear about, of course, my apologetics CDs, and how many times have we quoted on this show out of 1 Peter, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Problem is that we are lousy at this. We're lousy at this. Somebody says, how do you really know Jesus Christ rose physically from the dead? How do you know Christianity is really the only true religion? Hasn't evolution been proven to be true? And we all stand there and go, so we need to get better at this. I was reading an interesting news story here out of Christian Newswire that Christian apologist Anthony Horvath says that the church itself is actually producing atheists, people like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and some of these people. Very interesting. Anthony Horvath joins us now. Mr. Horvath, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's a pretty strong claim. How is the church actually producing these atheists?
Well, I think what happens is people get trained up in the church and they hear some of the doctrines and they learn what the church is about sort of on a superficial level. And there's nothing wrong with knowing the doctrines and what we believe, but what happens in a lot of cases, they go off to college, and that's the first time that they've ever really encountered serious resistance to what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what tends to happen more than anything is a sense of betrayal sets in, and people just don't even feel like they can trust the Christian church to give them the answers. So when they do sit around to finding out some of these things that you and I sort of take for granted a little bit,
mm-hmm.
they're not willing anymore to believe it. Fool me once kind of a thing, but fool me twice, I don't think so. So it's a lot easier if you can catch people younger, give them the substantial answers that they're looking for.
Yeah, well, as you know, in the church today, it seems that truth is all about personal experience and emotion, which, by the way, I don't have any problem with personal experience and emotion as long as it's based on the truth
right.
of Jesus Christ and is confirmed in the Word of God. But we are very experiential in our pluralistic society today, so people say, oh, this feels good to me, this feels right, therefore it must be true. And I'll be honest with you, I've had a lot of people criticize the idea of apologetics. I have authors on the show, and they're like, well, you know, we can't just be about head knowledge. We need to, we need to embrace and develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and not just gain a bunch of head knowledge. And while I would agree that's true, the problem is apologetics, to me, serves as a safety net to keep us within the parameters of truth instead of veering off into believing false things.
Sure. Well, absolutely. It's pretty sad that these days we have to have an apologetics for apologetics.
We do, actually.
it kind of hurts my feelings sometimes because I grew up in the Christian church. I had 12 years of Christian education. And I don't mean, Sunday schools. I mean day school and high school. And I lost my faith briefly in college while studying to be a pastor, no less, at a Christian university. And I find that a lot of Christians don't understand where I'm coming from, and because I sort of do take a more evidential point of view to why I believe the things that I believe, whereas they have personal experiences to fall back on, a lot of times we're at loggerheads on it, and I have to sometimes remind them that the personal experiences are certainly valid, but you can't put them into a bottle and hand to somebody else.
Yeah. So what do you, as a Christian apologist, what do you think right now is probably one of the most key pieces of apologetics that Christians need to equip themselves to learn to be able to answer?
Well, I would say it's a twofold package. Personally, I try to focus on the resurrection whenever possible.
Okay.
The Christianity rises or falls,
That it does.
And Paul says pretty clear that if that's not true, then we are to be pitied.
Right.
So the thing is, when you start getting into the resurrection and the evidences for that, and this is all very good stuff to have, you almost always end up talking about philosophical naturalism, sort of this idea that's common in our day, sort of smuggled in through our respect for science.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sort of construct your worldview by eliminating the miraculous right from the very beginning. And so I find that when you talk about the resurrection, especially when you get into the upper high school years and in mm-hmm. college, you almost always end up talking about this question of, well, how do you know, how would you know if a miracle happened if it hit you? And if you don't have a way to know that, then what you've got is you've got something that's really unfalsifiable. You know, mm-hmm. atheism is unfalsifiable if you don't have a way to show that the miraculous can happen and disprove it.
You know what I've never been able to understand, though? And I just had somebody, a caller into my show a few days ago that was hitting me with this. I just have trouble believing the resurrection because it just that just seems so impossible, that kind of thing. And I was like, do you believe there's a God? Well, yes. Okay, so you believe God created everything? Well, yes. And I'm like, which is the greater miracle, to create a life and humanity and the earth and the universe out of nothingness, or to merely manipulate the creation after it's being? I mean, to me, making a human being is a much bigger miracle than merely bringing a human being back to life. And of course, in Jesus' case, we have a whole different dynamic because he's God on earth in the flesh.
Right.
But it just seems like I don't understand why. I mean, somebody else called and said, Bob, do you really believe a donkey talked? Do you honestly believe that? And I'm like, wait a second. Which is easier to believe, that a donkey could be made to talk by God, or that a donkey could be created out of empty space, nothingness, by God? Yet we see the donkey. There it is. If it's been created, how tough of a stretch is it to make it talk? I don't understand why people are unwilling to believe the lesser miracles when they do believe, okay, well, there is a God and he made everything. How hard of a miracle can that be?
Absolutely. Well, there's a tremendous amount of pressure, I think, especially on the college kids. I really have a heart for the young people.
Yeah.
I go back to them fairly frequently. Because to accept the resurrection is to go in it just against the full tide of their academic surroundings.
Right.
So, you know, for you and I, we can see that once you've accepted the resurrection, you know, you've really gone one large mile down the road to accepting other things that would be a little bit maybe eyebrow-raising to some
sure.
degree.
Yeah.
And, you know, Richard Dawkins, you know, in his book, The God Delusion, he talked about some Christian scientists who were, you know, not the, you know who I'm talking about by Christian scientists.
Yeah.
The people who believe in God and are Christian, but they still buy that whole resurrection stuff. And you just can't believe it when the resurrection, though, is the central defining claim of Christianity.
Yeah. I know. Well, so what do we do? We got just about a minute left then. What does the church do, in your opinion? What is your suggestion to better equip Christians with the truth?
I think we need to get into this evidence much younger. I think of it like an immunization. You take a disease and you kill it and you put it in your body and then you're able to resist it later on. And if you provide answers to arguments as children are growing up, you basically immunize it. You kill it, you put it to death, and they're more able to deal with it on their own when they get older.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the whole church has to wake up to the fact that the whole climate is against us. And it's one thing to expect pastors and theologians to stand up against it. But freshmen in college,
right?
You know, that's tough. And we have to equip them, or they're just going to fall away gently.
Yeah, they're going to hear the skeptics' arguments from someone. Better to hear it from mom and dad than to hear it out in the world, and they're not equipped with the answer.
Right.
Folks, the website, SNT Johnny, kind of think of St. Johnny, sntjohnny.com, Anthony Horvath, Christian apologist. Mr. Horvath, I appreciate you being with us today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
You're listening to the Bob Duco Show. This is the News Hour. You can email me, Bob at WMUZ.com.